Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler.
That's
here.
Right,
we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials here. If you go into the game or you want to watch the game here, you can come. And they got, again, great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House and 16 surround sound TVs. You can watch all the ball games right in front of you. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb knows a little bit about Map Construction all over the world, right, Herb?
We're all over the continental U.S. Not so much across the world yet, but we're going to be there, baby.
Okay, well, we ain't doing this show in Europe, so I mean.
You never know. We might be. We on the line, baby. We're on the line, baby.
Herb, I'm willing to bet you a few bucks on that one. We ain't doing nothing from Paris, France. Well, I might be in Paris, France.
I'm
not going to be doing a football show from there.
We might. You never know. Hey,
the way the NFL is,
right.
You never know. That part is
and
true.
And college football is right behind them, so you just never know, baby. We'll see.
We'll give some of the scores that have ended so far. Ole Miss, who was a 32.5-point favorite, they beat Washington State 24-21.
Ooh.
Man, just think if you'd have took Washington State. That's one of them things, man, you ain't even got to sweat. That bet. That's a Diliberto line, but that is true.
Yeah, that's right.
No sweat on that bet. SMU, 34-10 over Stanford, improves SMU's record.
Man, my tree.
4-2.
My tree is not doing well, man.
Man, they ain't doing well now. No. I know one part of your family is not too happy about that, right?
Nah, he doesn't. Sometimes he cares, sometimes he doesn't.
I get that. I got that feeling myself.
Right.
Ohio State, 34-16 over Illinois. They were a 14.5-point favorite in this game, and they covered that. To be honest with you, Illinois sort of skidded toward the end to get them some points. But,
Yeah. Man,
Ohio State, just think
just
about
rolling.
This.
They're rolling.
13 players got drafted in the NFL.
Yep.
Three other guys got signed as undrafted free agents. So mm-hmm. 16 starters.
Off that team last
off
year.
Off that team.
Yep.
And look how they steamrolling.
Ain't nothing new for Ohio State. That's what they do, though. They've been doing that for quite some time.
They reload the rifle.
And they do a good job of going into the transfer portal and getting guys that can replace those guys immediately.
Goes to show you can, and I'll never believe this, you can carry momentum from one game to the next. I don't believe none of that.
Not from
you
one
can
game,
carry,
no. From a quarter, maybe.
But
a couple
during
series.
The game, but
yes.
Not from one game to the next.
No.
But confidence you can. Ohio, UCLA, after they upset Penn State, they beat Michigan State today 38-13.
Ooh.
How about that?
So it sounds
38-13.
Sounds like the problem with UCLA was the head coach.
I'm sort of believing that.
That's what it sounds like to me.
You know, and Skipper, his dad was the running backs coach with the Saints forever. He was there when Hebert was there.
Mm.
Jim Skipper. And man, Jim, he coached, good Lord,
he was there when Hebert was there.
Like 28 years
as
an assistant coach. And his son is now the head coach there.
Yep.
And think about it, Neuheisel's son is the offensive
coordinator. That's right. I like it.
And
I
so,
like
man,
it.
They got it wrong now. two games in a row for the Bruins, and we talked a little bit about it in our number one, Alabama, 27-24. Mm. Depend on when you bet.
Yep.
Because this game was either 2.5
or three.
Alabama 27, Missouri 24. Yeah, and you don't think they got them bright lights and them nice casinos out there because they losing money. They got that right on the hook there.
Vegas ain't about losing no money. I can tell you
not,
that.
Not to anybody.
Not for the people that own the buildings. Nah. Everybody that walk in them, they lose all the time.
And you talk about a team that has nosedived. The Pittsburgh Panthers defeated Florida State today, 34-31.
Oh, I was looking at Florida State. I was watching that game.
Florida State was a 13.5-point favorite over Pitt.
No.
Coming off that game last week against Miami. Now, I will say this. When you looked at that score, you said, man, the game was close. Hell no, it wasn't close.
No, Miami, yeah.
Miami dominated that game.
They dominated the game from beginning to end.
They had a little roll at the end, Florida State. But, man, Miami just was running out the clock.
That's it.
They looked like totally a different level of play.
And the thing with Florida State losing to Pitt today, it's so strange because Florida State clearly had the better team. I just think that Florida State has
lies between the ears.
They don't have that confidence that they once had two games ago.
Man,
right?
Think about they beat Alabama, and beat them up.
There
was no beat. It was a beat up situation.
Yep.
This is early though in the game in the first quarter. Oregon 7-3 over Indiana. So you know the one thing with the Ducks. And Dante Moore really played well.
Yeah,
guys,
yeah.
Doesn't have a lot of experience. He was heavily recruited by LSU. I think LSU was his number two school. He ended up picking UCLA. Then he saw the chaos going on there. Man, I got to get out of here.
Went north, that's
and,
right.
You know, Dan Lanning went, oh, hey, I got a spot for you.
That's right.
Now, all you got to do is sit for a year. Dylan Gabriel will be the guy. And
you'll play.
Look at his improvement as a passer. He plays with so much confidence. He's smart. He knows where to go with the football.
Well, the Oregon is one of those places where if you're a quarterback, that's where you want to go. You're going to develop. You're going to be seen, and you're going to play well throughout the season. Now, how do you play as a team in the playoffs has always been the question about Oregon. Can they play the really big boys at the right time when the lights are on, and will they be successful?
And this is also very early in the football game, but Oklahoma and John Mateer did walk out. He had his Willis Reed moment. Now, you'd have to think about it because if you're not a certain age, you might
understand
who Willis Reed was. But
right.
He had his Willis Reed moment, and Oklahoma with a 3-0 lead over Texas. But one thing Texas got, and it's legit, them cats can play defense. Oh, my goodness.
They can.
They get after you on defense.
They can play defense. They just hadn't played well enough to overcome what the offense hadn't been doing here lately. And so that's going to be a struggle today. And that the problem I got with Mateer coming back right now is I don't know if he's 100%. You can only trust.
Oh, there ain't no way he's 100%.
You can only trust that he's at a certain percentage that he can play up to the level and capabilities that he's already has been playing. But I really like their number two quarterback at Oklahoma. He's a really good player, and I think he's got the ability and the opportunity once he gets to start playing somewhere, the chance to be really, really special. He can run and throw the football.
Just watch it a little bit of it when we run our news break. Oklahoma's defensive line whipping the you-know-what out of Texas's offensive line. Oh, Herb. Man, they're not giving little Arch much time back there.
Well,
this
ain't nothing new, though, for Texas, right? We've been watching Texas all year, and their offensive line has just been looking like one of them strainers that you wash your spaghetti with.
Well, one of them guys is playing for the Saints in Kelvin Banks.
Yep.
And, man, you know, I always look at this as a
You're talking about from last year, right?
From last year.
Yep, okay.
Kelvin Banks is one of those guys, and been doing this 41 years.
Yeah.
So one
yeah.
of the things I see is I can have a tackle block, the best pass rusher, one-on-one, that dude can play.
He can play.
At any level.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelvin Banks does that in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's left out on an island more than any other tackle in the NFL.
And he's
doing a damn good job.
He's successful at what he's doing. He's doing a good job. I will say that. And that's one of the reasons why Texas is not successful this year, because of losing a guy like that. Because last year, there was no question about Texas, the offensive line last year. But this year, it is just not good whatsoever.
And their receivers, they drop a few more throws. And Arch just isn't playing well.
Flat out. He's not playing very well at all.
He's missing open receivers, and he's flustered in the pocket, you can see. And he came in with a lot of hype, and he hasn't lived up to it. But Texas has just come up. John Mateer tried to fit one in, and boy, it didn't fit it. Well, he fit it in right in the belly of a Texas defender.
So that's one of those things that you think about when we're talking about Arch not playing well. We got to give him a little grace. This is his first time being a full-time starter. It's difficult. It's not easy whatsoever. However, the expectations that we have on him or have been placed on him is really large and it's heavy, and he's not really truly living up to that that potential. Now, with that being said, if anybody can turn around, I think Steve Sarkisian can turn that around. Now, how do you do that, though? You got to help him with some run game. You got to get the right offensive line personnel there to be able to protect him so he can get the ball off when it's time. And then also, Arch is doing a better job at delivering the ball.
He's not seeing the field well. I'm going to just tell you, he's not. You can see almost like a horse with blinders. I grew up around horses. Man, they okay out in the field by themselves, but the blinders on, man, they sort of mess them up for some of them. Some of them enjoy that because they don't want to be around another horse, so they don't want to see another one. But for some of them, they don't like to have them blinders on.
Well, sometimes it makes me wonder when I watch Texas, are they simplifying it too much for them, meaning it's a 1-2-man read, right? And then the defense is actually really more complicated than that 1 or 2 man read. Does that make sense? So, you go out there and these are the two, I either throw it to this guy, the tight end, or this receiver here. And if he doesn't throw it to those two guys immediately, everything else breaks down. And so maybe it's just a little bit too simple for him, and they need to open it up just a little bit. Not only open the playbook, but just open up the play, if you will, so he can see the whole field.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have that. I don't know.
We'll have our Saints-Patriots pregame show starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in our first take segment. Ooh. And then at 10 o'clock, countdown to kickoff. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, myself will start this off at 10 o'clock. And then high noon, hey, turn down the TV sound. And you can hear Deuce and Hoss and Jeff Nowak give you all the action right here on the Big 870 WWL. And, man, I would have said they play in Jackson Dart at quarterback. Drake May, he can play. But, man, Jackson Dart looked really good Thursday night going up against the champs.
He did. I'm going to tell you, that New England team is sneaky good. They can play with just about anybody, and I think they got a lot of talent.
I love the coach, too, man. I covered him for so many years with the Titans, Mike Vrabel.
Mike is one of those guys. So he's a guy you want to play football for. You want to go have a drink with him afterward. You know, you want to invite him to the house to throw something on the grill kind of guy. And that's what I see in Mike coaching for New England and, of course, for the Titans when he was there during his time. But that New England team is going to be a really sneaky good team. And I'm going to say this.
Drake May.
That's right. And I'm going to say this. If the Saints can pull out a win, I'll be impressed. I'll be honest.
I would be very, very impressed if they do it. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Be back right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTelia along with the legendary Herb Dollar here at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. Man, they got great food and drink specials here. Herb and I will be here until 4:45 this afternoon. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction.
Right.
Map Built, Build Beyond.
Build Beyond.
This is our Eyes on the Opponent segment we do each and every week, and it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, focused on patient care. On our phone lines from the Gamecock Central, Kevin Miller, who covers the South Carolina Gamecocks. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, Mike, Herb, thanks for having me on today.
Yes, sir.
Kevin, one of the things with this game is, I was talking to Herb about this last year. You were like, man, if I'm South Carolina, how the hell I lost this game? You know, because it looked
That's
as
right.
though Herb and I, we here, because we had to do post game because it was an early
That's
show.
Right.
We here watching, it was like, how did LSU win this game? You had a missed field goal at the end, had an interception
right.
that was brought back, a roughing the passer situation. Which you want to say maybe some questionable calls in that game?
Well, if you're
a South Carolina fan, you might say that there was some questionable calls in that. But, man, South Carolina, they ran the football up and down the field against LSU virtually for three quarters, still ended up losing. And, man, you wonder if they win that game, that gets you to double digits. And maybe a spot.
Yeah, I think that game goes a little bit differently, and South Carolina's in the 12-team field last year, and who knows how that could have, you know, affected this offseason.
Look at, you know, so many losses, and every team goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
Got some young receivers now. Nick Harbor, I think, is a little better receiver. Now, athletically, he's off the charts good, but, sometimes he doesn't catch the ball well. Had some young receivers here. Offensive line. Lenoris is having to do a lot more running around. Not say running the ball, because other than the last game, he really didn't do a lot of that.
No.
Isn't the big loss from a year ago Rocket Sanders at running back?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a loss, because not only was Rocket Sanders a load at 220 pounds, he was also a guy who could really just outrun the defense, like we saw against LSU last season. Rocket Sanders had the long touchdown, and he was a really good receiver out of the backfield, and he was solid in pass protection, and South Carolina hasn't necessarily gotten that same level of production from that position this year. Some of it's because the offensive line has, you know, frankly, just not performed well at all, but some of it I do put on the running back position. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, Rocket Sanders was a big loss.
Man, we appreciate y'all sending the Saints Torricelli Simpkins, because that dude can play pretty good. He came in here as an undrafted free agent. Nobody gave him a shot.
Nope.
Okay, two games into game one of preseason, they have the guard go down, and then they start swinging people around. Next thing you know, he's starting at center. They thought he would play guard. Instead, he started at center, and he played every play but the first two. And we all thought we'd see him at guard, because that's how he had practiced and, you know, leading up at the training camp. But Simpkins been one hell of a football player here for the Saints.
Yeah, and he's a guy that when you watch him play, he plays with a mean streak, and that's what you want from an offensive lineman, right? He's not a nice guy between the lines. It probably doesn't hurt that he's used to blocking for Spencer Rattler, and so he gets a chance to do that again. But it's been fun to watch those two guys performing well for the Saints. Because they're not just good football players, they're good people.
Nick Harbor, for people maybe haven't watched a lot of South Carolina, kind of give us a little bit of his background. Certainly a big track background there. Tremendous athlete. You'd love to see some consistency with him as a receiver, but kind of a little bit of his background and his growth as a wideout.
Sure. Thinking of Harbor as a guy out of high school, was a five-star prospect, but he wasn't a five-star wide receiver. Right? He was primarily an edge player, just rushing the passer, who transitioned into sort of a flex tight end role in high school. So when he arrived at South Carolina playing wide receiver, that was his first time doing it. And his first year especially, he wasn't ready. Last year there were some flashes. This year has been a little bit better. He's smoother as a route runner. His hands are a little bit better. And what I think you've really seen is that he's more comfortable in knowing what he's supposed to do on the field. Now, you mentioned there's been some inconsistencies, and we've seen that. You've seen times where he's had to kind of catch the ball with his body, or we've seen times where he's been unable to shake a defensive back because though he's extremely fast in a straight line, he's not necessarily the shiftiest guy. So if he can put it together from a consistency standpoint, I think you're talking about a guy that's going to have NFL scouts absolutely salivating, but we haven't seen that level of play on a week-in, week-out basis from him yet.
Kevin, you know, it's for LSU, it's been 2 weeks after a loss that was really tough. For South Carolina coming in, it's been 365 days, if you will, from the last time that these two teams played. And South Carolina is probably thinking they should be in a better position than when it comes to their record right now. Mm-hmm. What's been the talk around the town? What's been the talk about South Carolina football as the state right now? And also going into this game, you know, do they think that LSU is at a position right now where they really can take them out? Or do they think they're still like this invincible team, if you want to call it that, that was the team after week one? What's the consensus on that?
Yeah, I think South Carolina has a fair amount of fans who are, I don't want to say negative right now, but there is some angst within the fan base. There's some frustration with the offensive struggles, you know, especially with the offensive line, because that's an issue that has popped up year after year. And I think South Carolina fans look at the Vanderbilt contest and they can reason it away a little bit by saying, oh, well, Lenore Sellers got hurt, but they got blown out. And then against Missouri, you look at it and you're like, oh, well, you're pretty close, would have had a chance to win late if a field goal got missed, but you still lost, even though Lenore Sellers throws for 300 yards and the receivers have a good day. So I think there's a pretty high level of consternation, if you will, right now amongst the fan base. Though I will say the fact that the team in the upstate, the Clemson Tigers, the rivals, are struggling even more, I think softens that blow a little bit. And as you head into a game against a good team in LSU, it's not a team that is invincible, as you have said. It's not, you know, 2019 where you look at that team and you're like, there's no beating them. There are weaknesses. So I do think there is some hope within the fan base as well. But I don't know how widespread that is at this time.
Yeah.
Number six, Dylan Storty's everything that he was built up to be coming out of high school. I've had people during the week ask me, compare him to Jadeveon Clowney. Well, Clowney was much more of a power player to me.
Yeah.
Where Dylan, man, it's his speed, his quickness. He's a real good technician in being able to get low and then cut that corner. And then it doesn't take long for him to get from point A to point B, and he gets after the quarterback extremely well. He's a very instinctive football player. You can see that on tape. And now, you know, with graduation, when you lose five guys that go into the pros, you're going to get a lot more attention from opposing offenses, which means you're going to get a hat and a hat.
That's right.
And sometime a third hat trying to block you from that. I think a guy has played 18 games and has 17 and a half sacks, 17 and a half tackles for losses, 10 sacks, 5 forced fumbles. Man, he's damn good is all I can tell you.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt. And he's a guy who he's got some special bend. Right? He comes around the end and he's coming and it looks like it's impossible for him to actually bend back towards the quarterback because he's moving so fast. But all of a sudden he does. and he doesn't lose a step, he doesn't lose his balance, that's something that, you know, can't really be taught. That's that natural athleticism, that natural pass rush juice. He's definitely got it. And he's a guy that when he gets to the quarterback or gets to the running back, he has ill intentions, man. He will absolutely light a guy up. I don't know if you guys were able to see during the Kentucky game, he had a big sack, and later on kind of a backyard type lateral style play that Kentucky ran, absolutely blew up the ball carrier. He's a guy that, I mean, he's special whenever he has an opportunity to make a play.
The secondary, because if LSU has a strength, I think it's certainly at wide receiver on offenses. It's not along the offensive line. How do you think this will match up? Because I think if Nussmeier can get the time, and we don't know how his health is, but if he has enough time to throw the football, this would seemingly be a team that I think they can make some yardage against versus the pass. Now, again, they've given up some big running plays too, but I do think that LSU's strength is certainly at the wide receiver tight end spot. How do you think they'll match up from a secondary standpoint?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I mean, South Carolina has a little bit of some health concerns in the secondary. Judge Collier, starting corner, hasn't played at full speed since week one. He played a little bit against Kentucky just to get his feet wet, but he's supposed to be full go for the game tonight. He's probably coming into the year your number one option. And then transfer portal edition Brandon Cisse is a guy who's had a good season. He's a really good tackler, but he has gotten beat for a couple of 50-50 balls down the field this season. And if Nussmeier is able to drive the ball down the field, I think that's where LSU might be able to take advantage, you know, with guys like Hilton and Brown and even the big tight end Green. You know, those guys are athletic freaks, really, and they can make plays down the field. South Carolina has a really good nickelback, Jalen Kilgore, who sometimes might line up at safety. And I think that there's going to be a lot of testing of that secondary. You know, Torian Gray, position coach, always puts a good unit on the field, but it's not one that is great. It's not one that has an overwhelming amount of talent. So, you know, if LSU is able to push the ball down the field, if Nussmeier's body will allow him to do that, there will be plays available to the LSU offense, because what hasn't happened this year is that South Carolina has not gotten beat for long, methodical drives with a bunch of short gains. Where South Carolina's gotten beat is they've given up big plays, like you mentioned. And that will be available to LSU tonight if Nussmeier can make the throws.
Okay, it's named Beamer Ball for a reason. And Shane's dad, man, he was something special on special teams play at Virginia Tech. Is that something, you know, and I think there are elements there with Shane too. He wants that a big part. I wouldn't be surprised sometime tonight you see a fake or them to go all out after the punter for a block punt, something in that range, because that's sort of part of Shane's DNA as a coach, inheriting that a lot from his dad.
Yeah, no doubt about that at all. The Beamer Ball moniker has been passed down a generation, that's for sure. Punt returner Vakari Swain leaves the nation with 3 touchdown returns on the year. And he's had another return that he was 1 block away from making that number 4. And he's electric with the ball in his hands. And South Carolina has an excellent blocking unit on punts. Like they do a really good job of getting their bodies in between opposing coverage teams and their return man. But they've also got a blocked punt. One of them actually that Swain took back for a touchdown came off of a block. You know, South Carolina has leads the nation since Shane Beamer has come to Columbia to be the head coach, leads the nation in total block kicks. They are very comfortable faking. They even ran a fake against Kentucky, so it would not surprise me at all to see that, especially in a game that I think LSU holds the talent advantage. It would not surprise me to see South Carolina try to gain a little bit of extra when the offense gets bogged down by running a fake.
Have they used a lot of silent count, because you know it's going to be loud, Now, the wild is if LSU goes three and out and booing for the offense,
it might be on the other side, that's right.
So to speak. But the one thing, you know, we've heard from so many opposing coaches, Herb played in that environment also, that, man, it is loud in Tiger Stadium because that noise almost goes straight down. Of how much emphasis maybe into the silent count or doing something real quick, because if LSU's defense has played like they have in other games, I think it's going to give South Carolina some trouble with the snap count, and you see guys jumping off sides or illegal procedure. You name it. It has hurt other teams when they've come down here to play in Death Valley.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to watch tonight. South Carolina has really struggled with pre-snap penalties on the offensive line this year, and they have not played in an environment like Tiger Stadium. You know, their only true road game of the year so far has been at Missouri, and no offense to Missouri fans, but that environment does not look the same as LSU. It does not look the same as Death Valley at night. So if South Carolina struggles again with those pre-snap penalties, they're going to be in trouble. They had 14 penalties against Missouri, and ultimately you can look back at that, argue that that's why they lost the game. If that happens, they won't have a chance against LSU tonight. Mm-hmm. I know this week they've been pumping in crowd noise at practice, and they've been pumping it to the max. So I have to imagine that means they're also practicing silent counts, quick snaps, things of that nature, just like you mentioned, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to hear. That place is crazy. LSU has great fans. And I think it'll be a great environment tonight. South Carolina's going to have to not just fight against the 11 Tigers on the field, but the 100,000 Tigers in the stands, too.
Right. Kevin, I'm shocked the game was that close. You got 14 penalties in a game. Woo-wee. Man, that's a lot of penalties. Wow.
Yeah, and those are just the ones that got accepted. There were two more that were fun.
Man, that's shocking to me that game was as close as it was when you have that many penalties called against you. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on our Tiger Tailgating Show. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was our Inside the Tiger Den, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. Hey, focused on patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock and the crew there at Thibodaux Regional Health System. Do a great job on the bayou. We'll be back here with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Osha House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials. You know, we talked to Kevin Miller from the Gamecock Digest, and he brought up the fact about Beamer Ball. And you see, sometimes when your offense isn't right, you steal a score from somewhere. That's where, you know, his dad, Frank, did that at Virginia Tech. Man, they were always known for their special teams, their defense. Now, when Vic was there, it was a little bit different because Mike could score from the 1-yard line on the other side.
On the other side, that's right. But, he was a video game.
the thing I look at it, to me, that is a key tonight for LSU. They have got to be able to not give up a big play in the special teams part of the game, either in the return business or on a fake, because I got a feeling you're going to see that tonight somewhere with the Gamecocks, that they're going to either fake a punt or fake a field goal.
I think that has to be a focus for LSU, is not to allow South Carolina's special teams to have a true impact on this game. In a return game, or whether it's, you know, punt return or kick return or whatever it is. But ultimately, what we need to see is some consistency and some continuity on the offensive side, and a little bit of mixture of run game, pass game. Run game, any kind, pass game, completions, some down the field throws that we, you know we can do and we should be able to because we have the athletes. I really think Kyle Parker can make a difference today. I really like his game. And I think he's
given a great opportunity tonight.
And look,
man,
he's shown up every time he's been in the game. He's made catches and done some really great things. So this could be a breakout game for Kyle Parker, because that position is really a great position in LSU's offensive scheme. But so ultimately, I think that, you know, being careful with the special teams is one thing, but being consistent and showing some continuity on offense is huge for their success tonight.
Kyle Parker comes to one of our camps, and he was clearly the best receiver there, and he caught everything. And, man, his run after catch skills were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing on the sidelines, and he walked past me, and he was like, "You better put two of them on me." I was like, "That's not how it's done here. It's one-on-one, Kyle." He was like, "You better put two of them.
That's right.
One of them ain't going to guard me all day over here in this hot sun."
That's right.
And, man, he was on that nickel turf, and, boy, it was hot in July. Woo-wee. But he was scorching everybody, man. He was corkscrewing them into the ground, making catches.
I like Kyle Parker.
Man, he plays with a lot of confidence,
yes,
too. That's
does.
The one thing he got about him, and God bless him. If you got that talent, you ain't bragging if you can do it. We'll be
That's
back
right.
with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Natalia, Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back to finish it off in our number two right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number two on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Natalia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials. Also, too, if you need any catering done for special events, birthdays, holidays, you name it, they can do it here at Acme and kind of take that off the plate for you, or on the plate for you, however you want to look at it with that. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond.
That's right.
Herb, I think one of the things tonight is, can either of these two teams run the football? I'm not saying they won't hit a big play, but to consistently run the ball, I don't care if you got 2 weeks, 2 months. I mean, you've been doing this since July and still haven't got a consistent running game. That's not all of a sudden going to come to you. Now, you may have a 70-yard run combined with another 50-something yards rushing, and it makes it look better. Or like Coach Kelly said, "Well, you didn't see that big play at the end of the game."
What? Right.
Come on. You weren't running the ball.
Yeah, no.
And South Carolina's worse than them.
And look, it's so weird why they can't run the ball. No one knows why. But I can't tell you this. Again, like I said earlier, I don't want to see any LSU's offensive linemen looking the opposite direction, because that means you ain't blocking nobody forward.
They are not a physical football team.
Nope. Not right now.
Up front along that offensive line. They are physical on defense now.
They are.
Man, that front seven get after you, and there's no question about it. We'll talk a little bit more about this in our number three. But, man, that's the secondary. And, listen, Ole Miss is going to give people problems because of the way they spread the field, the talent they have at wide receiver and tight end. But, man, LSU secondary, totally different than it looked a year ago. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.